What a moment this is for Jesus. Picture it in your mind. He is standing in the water with his cousin John, both of them suddenly realizing how the years have passed, and yet their sights are set firmly on the future. A ministry that would immediately mark itself as a vocation, that carpentry was not for him, has begun. Those of you who joined this church when John Walton was here know that he always said in the classes for new members, and Jesus hung his apron on the hook by the door in his dad's shop one day and never went back. This moment is that moment of becoming something different than a carpenter. Standing in the Jordan River, there is no turning back for Jesus, no turning back to wood and tools, to sawdust and boards. It's not clear at all from the Gospel of Luke whether the crowds understand that Jesus is the one about whom John has been speaking. We know it, of course, standing at the water's edge. We know who Jesus is becoming. We inevitably read the gospel backwards. We know the end of the story. We know who he becomes. We crowd out those gathered on the shore with their innocence and their naivete, their poor hearing of voices from heaven. And we see this private moment for all that it is, a declaration of the incarnation we had been praying for and waiting for and celebrating these last weeks of Advent and Christmas. Depending on your own theological underpinnings, we each make our own determination about how much Jesus knew at this moment. Some of us believe, no doubt, that this was the moment that the whole rest of his life and death and resurrection flashes before his eyes. Some of us believe that he only glimpsed for a moment the next step on the path, that much more would be revealed to him in the coming weeks and months. He walked and healed and taught and shared meals with people, and he learned each day about what this moment of incarnation was really all about. Of course, some of us are both and people, and we believe that he both knew where this moment was taking him, and he also grew into who he was becoming along the way. And if we all pause to think about it a bit this morning, we know these kinds of moments in our own lives. We all look back at moments that changed everything, about how much and how little we knew in those moments. And as much as we stand on the banks of the Jordan River and wonder who Jesus is becoming, we wonder the same for ourselves. Who are we becoming in these days? Like the crowd around us on Jordan's banks that day, they're wondering what will become of their world. We are wondering the same. Perhaps, like Jesus, we are wondering about our vocation, our own lives. Who are we becoming? The moments that shape us can be easy to miss. They don't always come with a voice from heaven or with witnesses to attest to those moments. Like the crowds around Jesus and John that day, we are left standing on the shore, waiting, wondering if perhaps we missed it. You might have noticed in the passage that Bob read for us today that Jesus' baptism doesn't come with a thunderstorm or a great wind or even the fire to which John alludes. In fact, this moment appears to come with everyone else, like everyone else who is baptized. And the revelatory moment of prayer after Jesus' baptism, that is where Jesus hears the voice of God's blessing. Who he is becoming is not yet visible to everyone. How often that is the case. Who we are becoming as a people, as a nation, as a congregation, as a person, is not always visible, not even to those closest to us. The work of becoming is hard work, and there are plenty of people around us who are wanting to shape and guide that process, especially in truly troubled times. The expectations are high, but expectations do not help with the clarity of becoming. The work of becoming is not easy work, and it seems that most of the time we feel like it is a destination of sorts. We'll know when we get there, and we will have really become something. Becoming is so much different than that gradual line of growth that I anticipated in my youth. You all have probably had that same experience. And yet I have found myself drawn to this question of becoming, to someone whose writing had a huge influence on the vocational journey of my youth, Paul Tillich. If you're not familiar with Paul Tillich, he was born in Germany in the Brandenburg province, and he began his career teaching in Germany. It was 1933 when his friend Reinhold Niebuhr was visiting Germany and invited Tillich to join him on the faculty at the Union Theological Seminary here in New York City. Tillich had just been dismissed as a faculty member at the University of Frankfurt because of his lack of alignment with Adolf Hitler and his party. Tillich accepted Niebuhr's offer. He was the kind of thinker that we long for today. He defied and still defies clear categorization. His theology spoke brilliantly to progressive education and theology that was redefining its voice in the post-Enlightenment surge of education, the emergence of fields like psychology, and the theological challenges of the early 1900s, of the world being at continual war. But Tillich also spoke to the rising theologians of Neo-Orthodoxy, the voices that would become the prominent voices in Protestant theology in the 20th century, his friend Reinhold Niebuhr, Karl Barth. But it was this little volume that Tillich wrote in 1952, based on his Terry lectures at Yale University. Maybe some of you have read it. It's called The Courage to Be. I read this book in college, and it had an immeasurable influence on me. It's one of those books that I remember where I was when I was reading it. You know the kind of moment I mean. The kind of moment we've been talking about today with Jesus. That moment that even at the time, you know that something so profound is happening that it's changing you. I read The Courage to Be on a bench down by the river in a park near my college. It was late spring, the kind of days where you still needed a jacket, but you could feel the warmth changing in the air. And I have no idea what class it was assigned for. But when I pulled it off the shelf this week, a small pressed flower fell out of its pages, likely from that riverbank all those years ago. It's funny, I remember so little of Tillich's words or even his ideas in this book. But I remember quite well the feeling I had while reading it all those years ago. a feeling that even though I didn't understand all that he was saying, that he was speaking to something deep, deep within me that had a resonance that I had never felt before. And I imagine that's a little bit of what Jesus felt on the shore of the Jordan River all those years ago. I'm not sure that he fully understood in that moment what those words, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased," really meant. Any more than we reflect back and understand how certain words or conversations may be imprinting us for becoming. In the table of contents of The Courage to Be, Tillich outlines each chapter in wonderful detail. The last three sections of this book focus on these aspects of becoming. Courage and participation, the courage to be as part. Courage and individualization, the courage to be as oneself. And courage and transcendence, the courage to accept acceptance. These categories capture the nuance of who Jesus is becoming in this moment of baptism, and who we, in this moment in history, remembering his baptism and our own, who we are becoming. We talk frequently, and with good reason, about how troubled the world is right now. We're fearful about where things are going. There does seem to be a moral and intellectual abyss that threatens and indeed oppresses large groups of people. We are surely in a crisis of heart and soul, but there is little agreement on not only how to proceed, but which aspects of the world are the crisis. We wake up in the morning and go to bed at night with fear swirling around us, fear of violence, fear about our work, anxiety about the uncertainties of the world, fear of the stranger, anxiety about not being able to maintain our responsibilities, fear of addiction, anxiety about our limitations, fear of being unjust. And so we ask ourselves, who are we becoming? Many of us in our thinking about the world these days are longing and are becoming for a new language that can provide some common principles on which we can moor ourselves in the pitch of all these fears and anxieties. It may be time to conjure up and reclaim some good old theological language. Words like grace, forgiveness, and the courage to be. Tillich suggests that without the anticipating fear and the compelling anxiety, no finite being would be able to exist. Courage, in this view, he says, is the readiness to take upon oneself's negatives anticipated by fear for the sake of fuller positivity. Tillich suggests that our fears are actually a positive thing because they wake us up to knowing who we are not. Our fears do not define us. Our fears remind us of what we do not want to become. For Tillich, the courage to be is something which understands limits and in a way pushes us further into who we are becoming. Tillich describes in his own time a world in which people cannot tolerate meaninglessness. And he asserts that meaninglessness is actually part of us all. Those secret corners that Sam mentioned in his children's prayer this morning. Our fears are simply the limitations of our becoming. Think back to those moments in your own lives. The things you did not choose, the paths you did not follow. The naming of those things allows us to live with more vitality, more courageously into our own being. And in our becoming, we need those little ways to transcend the self, to be fully ourselves and to still be something beyond ourselves. Like those categories we discussed earlier that Jesus was thinking about on the banks of the Jordan River. It draws us back to the courage to accept acceptance. We are all today in a moment of becoming. And like Jesus standing in that moment, knowing what he is becoming, and yet not fully understanding what he is becoming, we stand with him. We have all been in moments like this before. We know, and yet we do not fully know. But today we must not be frightened by our limitations, but we must allow those limitations, believing that the small part that we offer to the world makes a significant difference. And so today we accept our fears, knowing that we are not becoming them. And with the courage to be, we can become what our fears are not. And what we need for the next moments is not just courage, but the courage to be, knowing that if we are willing, we are becoming a people who are beloved and accompanied.